We have a special service for you this morning. We're going to be highlighting one of our ministries, which is Pocomoth Camp and Retreat Ministries, and their summer camp, Camp Pocomoth. So we're going to be doing some of this here, and then we're going to switch it over to the Pocomoth service that they have graciously given us to share the work that they do there. Again, I'm filling in for Pastor Tim, and I'm J.R. Burkhart, so welcome. Pastor Tim is out this morning. Yesterday, he had a emergency eye surgery, his retina detached from one of his eyes. So we definitely want to lift him up in prayer. And I would like to start by having an opening prayer and praying for Pastor Tim. So if you would join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for bringing us all together this morning to worship you and worship your name. We pray that Pastor Tim is watching with us at home and recovering, Lord, and we thank you for providing Pastor Tim with us here at Royal Oak. Lord, please allow Pastor Tim's eye to fully recover so that we at Royal Oak may continue to do the good work that we know that you would want us to do in our community and here online. Lord, be with us this morning as we worship and as we highlight Pocomoth's ministry, and be with us now and always. In your name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned, today is going to be, the service is going to be led by Reverend Jack Shatama, the Executive Director of Pocomoth Camp and Retreat Ministry, and many other volunteers and staff there at Pocomoth. I would like to begin by highlighting Camp Pocomoth, as I refer to it. Camp Pocomoth was actually started in 1946 by a group of local Methodist pastors here on the eastern shore of Maryland and Delaware. They bought property in Centerville on what was Booker's Wharf Road. At the time, that was a public landing and also a place for the locals to kick back, have a good time. And so, when the Methodist Church bought that area, it was a little controversial at the time, but over the years, it really has become a wonderful ministry, not just for children, but for children young and old. What started in 1946 as just a summer camp has really expanded. They still do a wonderful summer camp program. They do have a retreat center there now that is hotel style. They have indoor residential dorm type facilities. People rent it out for weekend retreats, week-long retreats, all kinds of things. So when you think of Pocomoth, that's why it's now Pocomoth Camp and Retreat Ministry and not just Camp Pocomoth. It's a wonderful opportunity for people to go and experience God's love in the outdoor setting. You can experience God's love in the outdoor setting, but also go back to a nice air-conditioned, carpeted, indoor plumbing facility. So, the kids sleep in cabins and things such as that during the summer, but for the grown-ups, there's also the opportunity for having some of those amenities that we're all accustomed to. Pocomoth actually got its name there in the early 40s, when Pocomoth was started. They had a contest in the conference, and a little girl came up with the name Pocomoth. Pocomoth stood for, at the time, the conference was that owns all the Methodist churches on the Eastern Shore and Delaware was called Peninsula Conference. Peninsula Conference Methodist is how the name came, P-E-C-O-M-E-T-H. So over the years, the dashes between those disappeared and the word became Pocomoth. So, that's a little bit of history, and I've had the pleasure of knowing Reverend George and Carolyn Godfrey. Carolyn Godfrey was one of the first campers at Pocomoth in the late 40s, and Reverend George Godfrey was the first actual paid director of Camp Pocomoth. I do want to take a moment and of silence for Reverend George Godfrey, who passed away this week at 87. Even in his 80s, he was still celebrating the ministries of Pocomoth. So if we could take a minute, a moment of silence to honor the ministry of Reverend George Godfrey. thank you. Throughout this pandemic, Pocomath has really struggled, especially being a Camp Pocomath, a summer camp for children. The summer of 2020 was definitely something that hit them hard. They're optimistic about the summer of 2021 and hoping to allow campers back in some form or fashion, depending on the safety with COVID. But they will actually celebrate their 75th anniversary this summer of doing camping ministry. So, you know, we all are hopeful and optimistic and praying to God that He allows, you know, the children in our area and all over Maryland, Delaware, wherever they may come from, to experience what Camp Pocomath really is and the joy and the connection that they can experience with God in that place. So without further ado, I am going to turn it over to the Pocomath staff for the rest of our worship this morning. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here with you, and prayers for Pastor Tim. Amen.
Good morning. Since 2007, I have had the privilege of working side by side with a very dedicated staff and their executive director, Jack Chautauqua, in a ministry that effectively creates a life-changing atmosphere through Jesus Christ. My name is Dave Buchanan, and I'm the development director of Pocomath Camp and Retreat Ministries. On behalf of Pocomath, I welcome you to this service of worship. Let us pray. Eternal God, through your creation, you have given us a beautiful world in which to live and enjoy. In Jesus Christ, you have given us the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and in his transfiguration, a glimpse of his holiness. Through the faithful lives impacted by Pocomath's ministry, may you be glorified, and may we see a vision for your will for this world. And in this service of worship, grant us the courage to share your glory with the world in which we live, so that lives may be transformed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hi, I'm Aaron Brown, and I've provided the music for you this weekend for the worship service.
Yeah. Hey there. My name is Rachel. I'm the program assistant here at Pocomoth. And for today's children's story, we're going to talk about something pretty cool. Lego. Now, if you come to our offices here at Pocomoth, you'll instantly know which desk belongs to me. Mostly because I have it covered in this stuff. But Lego is really cool in that we can learn a lot about it just from its history or the way that it works or how we use it in our everyday lives. Now, a bit of history. The original Lego brick was designed and built by a man named Ole Kirk Christensen. And the original designs are similar to the ones we have today, except there's some pieces that are a little bit different. So they're still designed to connect together, but on the inside is hollow. There's nothing that really keeps them together. So they kind of connect together, but they come apart pretty easily. Now, Ole's son Gottfried noticed this and designed a new way to build the bricks that lets them connect together. So all the pieces can connect now, and they stay together, kind of no matter how much you shake them. Now, he called this clutch power. And this is similar to what we have in our lives, right? We have different pieces of ourselves that all come together to make us one person. So we have our family, we have friends, we have activities, but all separate, it's just a pile of bricks. And while it looks cool, it doesn't have that much value. So what do we have for our clutch power? We have faith, right? Faith is what connects all of our pieces of ourselves together. It's what holds us together when we get a little bit of force. So faith is important in all aspects of our lives. It's not a separate piece of a whole. It's the thing that connects it all together. So today's sermon talks a lot about transformation. And transformation is basically taking one thing and making it into something else. Now with Lego, we can transform that to about just about anything. So we can have all these different bricks and we can make them into just bigger blocks or animals or people or cars or different machines. But with Lego, we tend to build these sets and put them on our shelves and maybe we'll look at them every now and then, but we rarely will take it off the shelf. But our faith should be different. So today, let's take ourselves off the shelf. Share God's love with everyone we meet. Because without clutch power and faith, we're all just going to fall apart. May you build well.
Hello, my name is Carlos Samuel Reyes Rodriguez. I serve as Commission Deacon in the Peninsula Delaware Conference as Coordinator of Hispanic Latino Ministries. I am grateful for Camp Pocomoth inviting me to be part of this worship and worship with you to our God. Camp Pocomoth is a place that reminds me of water, right? That it comes and goes in different shapes and speeds. So it's a place where you can be energetic and you let the waves take you wherever the camps with the young ones are taking place. But also it's a place of relaxation and the water can be just calm and let you be. I appreciate that blessing from Camp Pocomoth. We are now going to hear the word of God from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Esta es la palabra de Dios. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
So I want to welcome you here today. If you are watching us online during Pocomoth Month, we are in the outdoor chapel on Activities Weekend. So this is one of the first weekends when we've been able to actually have families and children here at camp since the shutdown in early March. And so we're grateful to be here in the outdoor chapel. We're grateful to be able to continue to serve people. We are now open again for retreats. Even though on a limited basis, we're limiting capacity to 50% to try to keep people safe. We're doing our food service entirely differently. No more buffet, as you can imagine, wiping down services, hand sanitizer everywhere. This is the new normal and will likely be that way for quite a while. But we're grateful because Pocomoth is a place where people come and they experience God-inspired, life-changing experiences. And to be able to do that, even for a limited number of people, means that we can continue to be in ministry. You may or may not know that we were not able to run summer camp this year, and so that's why I'm glad to see children here in our outdoor chapel. As I mentioned, this is the first time that we've had children here in the outdoor chapel all summer. Between that and the retreats that we have not been able to run, retreats being canceled, we have lost about $750,000 in income since early March. And the fall looks pretty good for retreats, but you know that remains to be seen. We're kind of holding our breath to see if people will be able to come and whether they'll want to come. And despite all that, God has provided for us. We have gotten grants from the federal government, from the state of Maryland, from Queen Anne's County, Maryland. We have been able to make sacrifices and maintain our year-round staff. So we're prepared to continue to do ministry. And God is providing and God is maintaining Pocomoth in a position to be able to be around for a long time. That being said, we are doing a campaign to raise $500,000 to help us to sustain our ministry throughout the next year, because we really don't know what the next year holds. And we are we're grateful to say that we've already raised nearly $200,000. And so Pocomoth Month is a month when churches are invited to support Pocomoth. And so we're asking churches and their members to give generously to help do that, to help us to reach that $500,000 goal. So the mission of Pocomoth is to provide God-inspired, life-changing experiences. And we do that because when people come here, right, they experience God in very real ways, whether that's summer camp, whether that is adult retreats. We have a confirmation retreat. We have silent retreats. We have programs for single parent families. We have friends and family camp. These are all things that we used to do, and we look forward to doing again one day. And when people come, they experience God in a very real way. And that must be, well, that was what Peter and James and John did when they went up on the mountaintop with Jesus for what we know as the Transfiguration. They experienced God in a very real way. Jesus takes them up on the mountain, and as they are there, Jesus becomes transfigured. So the glory of God shines through him in a way that it's very clear that this is not a normal experience. God is shining through Jesus. And on top of that, then Elijah and Moses appear with Jesus, and they represent the law and the prophets. So they represent the entire tradition of Scripture and the tradition of experiencing God in the Hebrew people. And so Jesus is there with God's prophets, with the people that God is affirming Jesus' ministry. I think the interesting thing about this passage is it helps us to understand the life of faith. And I share this because Transfiguration Sunday occurs in August, and I also share this because that's what happens at camp. People come and they experience God firsthand. So I think there are three things that we can learn from this Transfiguration passage about how we experience God firsthand, and then what God calls us to do with it. First, life-changing experiences aren't just for the holy, the faithful, or the insightful. Now, we think of Peter and James and John as faith heroes. You know, 2,000 years we've been thinking of them as the three main disciples who helped to carry on Jesus' work. But they were rather ordinary people and certainly fallible people. We know that they were working people. They were nothing special, and Jesus called them. But because of them following Jesus, God worked through them to do special things. We know that Peter was castigated for rejecting the necessity of Jesus going to the cross. Just before this, at the end of chapter 8, Jesus says that the Son of Man is going to have to suffer and die. And Peter says, no, that can't be so. And Jesus' response is, get behind me, Satan. We also know Peter denied Jesus 3 times. We know James and John got into an argument about who was going to get to sit at the right hand of God. They were more concerned with their position relative to Jesus than they were in being a servant. And we know that all three fall asleep when Jesus asks them to pray for him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Life-changing experiences happen even to people who fall asleep when they're praying. They happen even to people who turn their back on Jesus. They happen to people who don't understand exactly what Jesus did or why he did it, or people who are more selfish than servant. So what about you? When have you experienced God firsthand? When have you had a transformation, a transfiguration experience? It doesn't just happen at camp. It happens everywhere. Could be in a Bible study, a prayer group, a mission trip, serving those in need in your community. But the point is that these kinds of experiences aren't just for a few. God wants us all to experience God's glory. And that leads to the second thing I think we learn from this passage, and that is we might experience God's glory, but we can't stay there. You know, the tendency is when we have an experience like this, we want to kind of bottle it, right? We want to capture it and keep it, but it's like manna. If you try to hoard it, it rots. In fact, what happens with Peter is he wants to, like, take up residence there, right? He says, oh man, it's good for us to be here with Elijah and with Moses and with you transfigured. So let's build 3 dwellings, 3 tabernacles, and we can just stay here forever because it's good up here on the mountain. And you know, as soon as he says that, God says, this is my son, the beloved, listen to him. And then Jesus is back to normal. Well, as normal for the Son of God can be. And Elijah and Moses are gone. I remember a Bible study I led, a disciple Bible study, and we were together for 34 weeks. And at near the end of that, you know, they were saying, oh, we should continue this. We should keep going. And the manual for a disciple Bible study says, no, don't do that. You'll get stale. You'll get inward looking. And so we said, no. And those people went and they started their own Bible studies, a divorce care ministry, a parish nurse ministry, a ministry for grieving adults. I remember in this very outdoor chapel, it was close to 20 years ago now, I was a spiritual life coordinator. And at the end of the service, the spiritual life coordinator invites people to come, the campers to come and pray. If they have experienced something special they want to pray about, or if they have a need they need to pray about. And at the end of the service, this lanky camper, I'll call him Alan, that's not his real name, came down to me. We were right down there. And he got down crying. And he said, I don't want to go home. And I said, I know, we get that a lot. I mean, the line here at camp among staffers is, you know, when campers come on Sunday, they cry because they don't want to stay, and they on Friday, they cry because they don't want to leave. And so we get that a lot. And I can't tell him he can stay. So I said, I know, Alan. It's good here. And he goes, no, you don't understand. Last year was my first year in high school. I had just moved to a new town. I didn't know anybody. People picked on me. It was awful. I don't want to go back. And he was crying. And I think the Holy Spirit gave me the right words to say. I said, you know, before we pray, the only thing I can tell you is the same God you've experienced here will be with you wherever you go. We can't stay on the mountain. When we experience God's glory, when we experience God firsthand, God has a purpose for us. God has somewhere for us to go. And that leads to the third thing, which is we have to go back down into the valley. And that road leads to the cross. In fact, scholars call this passage in Mark the pivot point of the book of Mark, because, you know, the first part of Mark leading up to this is all about Jesus' teaching and his preaching and his miracles and how he is doing amazing things as the Son of God. And just before this point, as I mentioned, Peter says that denies that the Son of Man should suffer, and Jesus says, no, the Son of Man has to suffer. The Son of God has to suffer. And then after this passage, they go down into the valley, and the road leads straight to Jerusalem, where he enters in glory, but ends up on the cross. And the message here for us is that when we experience God's glory, then we have to go back down in the valley. God calls us to go back down in the valley. And Jesus tells us at the end of chapter 8 that if anyone wants to follow, they must pick up their cross to deny themselves to follow. Jesus is saying that when we experience God's glory, then the next step is to go back down into the valley, into a broken and hurting world, and to give ourselves away in the same way Jesus did for us. So the question is, what can you do to give yourself away? This valley that we're in right now, it is real. The world is suffering. People are dying. People are fearful. People have lost their jobs. People are grieving. Do they know that God is with us? The only way they will know is if we show them. That's our call. I was at our Peninsula Delaware Conference youth rally. It would have been a year and a half after I prayed with Alan here in the outdoor chapel. It's January of every year. And we always have a display set up in the exhibit hall, and I was setting up our display Friday night, and there happened to be two big doors, and I looked at the other door, and I actually saw him walk in, and I could tell it was Alan because of the way he walked. He was really lanky, but he was about 6 inches taller. And I kind of kept my eye on him because he was making his way through the exhibits, and I wanted to see how he was doing. So as he came down our row, I kind of stepped out and I said, hey, how are you doing? I reached out my hand, we shook hands. He goes, hey, you remember me? And I'm like, yeah, of course I remember you. I just want to know, how are you? He went, well, I'm great. And his arms and legs went flying everywhere. And I said, tell me about it. He goes, yeah, you know, I went back to school and I went to the youth rally, and I went all by myself, but I experienced something amazing. And so I went back to my church and I became a youth leader. And I'm bringing them here this year so they can experience God the way I did. The same God that we experience on the mountaintop is going to be with us in the valley. So how will we give ourselves away? What will we do to help people experience God in this valley of a time? Here's your challenge. Pray about it. I guarantee you, if you pray about it, God will give you something. And if you pray about it some more, God will give you the courage to step out in faith and do it. And then watch out. Because not only will you have experienced God's glory on the mountaintop, but you can experience God working through you in the valley. Amen.
I am Jennifer Christie, Guest Service Coordinator at Pocomoc. Please join me with the closing prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service, we lift our hands with praise and thanksgiving. We will go forth knowing that we are one family and that you will never leave us or forsake us. We will serve and love each other as you have loved us. Go in peace until we meet again. In Jesus' precious name, amen.